Tonight we want our topic is pride, and a subtitle might be the world's most fatal disease. Now, I don't like to talk about sin as a disease. It's not. Sin is sin. It's not a disease that you can give the pill and get over it. But for the sake of my outline tonight, I'm looking at it like that. But I wanted you to know up front that sin of any kind is not a disease. Actually, pride is number two, I think, if you count up the major sins mentioned in Paul's epistles, second only to fornication. And we've talked a little bit about that already. There are, a lot of avenues in which various forms of fornication invade our lives. We live in a very sensual world. And we Christians are much more influenced by our culture than we think. And, the nakedness of our society is something that is rather appalling. We don't have to go back very far in the history of America, and things were much different. There have been a lot of studies made about this, one of which is tracing the decline in modesty, particularly among women, to the designs of swimsuits, and how that they show more and more skin, and as they show more and more skin, then general clothing shows more and more skin, more and more immodest. So I would ask you tonight, particularly ladies, to think about this. How short your dresses or skirts are, how low your tops are, how tight things are. I think you could ask any man, the shorter a skirt gets, particularly above the knee, the more distraction it is and the more trouble it is to keep our minds straight. And it's sad when we have to battle those battles even at church. So I would encourage you, particularly ladies, to dress modestly. It's very difficult to be modest when your skirts are above the knee, your blouses are low, I think you all know what I mean. Through music, we get a big sensual dose all the time. There are a lot of lyrics that we couldn't even read in a mixed company, but they're blasting out in our ears in the shopping malls and everywhere else. They're really crude. The entertainment that comes our way, the media that you can hardly go anywhere as far as a news site on the internet without seeing some things down the side somewhere that are the type of things that we shouldn't be looking at. It's everywhere. And so fornication today is certainly a big problem in our world as well as among Christians. So I would encourage you all to keep a guard against it. Get prayer partners to help you if necessary. But pride is number two on that list, and we want to talk about that tonight. Actually, it's number one in God's hate list in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look. That's the first one that's mentioned. A proud look. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, most people have either a big head or an inferiority complex. One or the other. He also used to say, pride is the stone over which most people stumble. And that's certainly true. What is pride? Well, it's a lifting up of ourselves. It's presumption. It's vain boasting. It's arrogance, pretension, a number of other words that we might use. A great example of pride, and we won't go there tonight, but is King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a great king, one of the greatest ever. He thought that he had done everything himself, and God brought him down to grazing like an animal. And after that he said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Yes, it's no problem for God to bring down a Nebuchadnezzar or anybody else. And he will. Pride leads to destruction. Pride resides in the human heart, your heart, my heart. There's a whole list of things that are not very nice that are in our hearts. One of those lists is in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. That's what our hearts are like. Apart from the grace of God, we could not make any headway on those things. But by His grace, we can. Pride is the opposite of being lowly or humble. Proverbs 3:34, surely He scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 16:19, better to be of humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Luke 1:51, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and He has exalted the lowly. James 4:6, we're going to look at a lot of verses. It's a topical sermon. A lot of verses, I'm sorry. If you want those verses, I can give them to you later. James 4:6, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud. Wow. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. One of the meanings of humble in the Greek lexicon is level. It's good. We're all on the same level as far as being creatures of God. We're all creatures of God. I must respect everyone, as a creature in the image of God. It doesn't matter who they are, how rich, how poor, whatever they may be. They are a creature of God, a human being made in the image of God. There was a song written, it's not the mighty that the Lord will use, but a humble servant is the man He'll choose. So though your talents be great or small, give to Jesus your all. To the humble grace and power He doth impart, but the Lord resists a wicked, prideful heart. So if for Christ you would be useful, be, learn this lesson of humility. A humble heart to serve the Savior. This, O Lord, be ever my desire, for Thy blessing is on the lowly. O give me, Lord, a humble heart. It's a good song. So, looking at pride as a disease, and again, it's a sin, what are the symptoms? What are the symptoms of pride? Well, first of all, haughtiness. Haughtiness of lifting up myself, looking down on others. Jeremiah 48:29, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He's exceedingly proud of his loftiness, his arrogance, and his pride, and of his haughtiness. He lifts himself up. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. It's an air of superiority. Luke 18:11, you remember. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank You that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector here. Of course, we remember the tax collector was the one that God heard, not the man who was proud. Psalm 119, verse 51. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from Your law. The proud deride me. They look down upon me. That's a proud person. Do you look down on anybody? You think you're better than others? That's pride. Pride takes advantage of subordinates. Psalm number 10, verse 2. The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. Yeah. People that are under our management, perhaps. Do we take advantage of them? That's pride. It's looking down on them. It's treating them from as a creature less than we are. The proud person lives out of himself. That famous verse in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell. And he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. It's me, myself, what I want, it's all for me. That's pride. And God is not in the proud person's thoughts. Psalm 10:4, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. He's a law unto himself, in other words. He doesn't need God. Sometimes even Christians go through a day or a week without really depending upon God consciously. We're acting in a very proud manner. Proud people refuse to deal with sin. You remember the church at Corinth. There was very vile and open sin in the church. And they were dealing with it. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:2, and you are puffed up. As a congregation, you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. And a proud person loves attention. Matthew 23:5. By all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad, these things they had on their shoulders or on their arm or wrapped around their head even, that had little packets that had scripture in them. They would make them big so that people would know that they were spiritual. They would enlarge these things, enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues. That's a symptom of a proud person. We need to examine ourselves. It's number two, and number one on God's hate list. We have to have problems with it. We have to strive with it, I know. So what are some of the causes of pride? Well, power. Power. Leviticus 26:19. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. Also in 1 Timothy 3:6, talking about the deacons and pastors, should not be a novice being puffed up with pride, lest he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Given a place of power, authority. Be careful, lest that power causes you to be lifted up and become proudful. Proud. Wealth. Another reason. Deuteronomy 8:13. God warned his people before it ever happened. When your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Then he goes on to say, then you say in your heart, my power, my might, my hand have gained this, my wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he swore to his fathers. Most of us here tonight are rich compared to most of the world. It's all by God's grace that we're even born here, that we even were brought up here, that God has given us all that he's given us in this country. And we certainly need to pray for our country. And the only hope for our country is a revival, a nationwide revival. Because God's going to bring us down just like he did his own people. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. I hope you thank God for your food all the time, for even the little things of life that, you know, you turn the shower on, you have a hot shower. Most places in the world don't have that. You turn the faucet on, you can drink the water. Most places in the world can't do that. It's amazing what God has given us. It's His grace. What else causes pride? Beauty. Beauty. See, where do you get all these points? From the Scripture. Ezekiel 28:17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. I remember a story about a woman at a Catholic church who was confessing her sins. She was saying, I must confess that I think too much about my beauty. And the priest said, well, that's not a sin. That's just a mistake. Okay. Well, I didn't get too many laughs on that. I'm not very good at that. But, sometimes our beauty is just perceived. But there are some beautiful people in the world. There are people that are very attractive. You need to be very careful. It's a source of pride. It's one that is mentioned in the Scripture. Another source of pride is exalting men and identifying with certain people. We might call it name dropping, things of that nature. That was a problem in the church at Corinth again. Some said, we follow the Apostle Paul. And some said, well, we follow Apollos. And said, well, we follow Jesus Christ. As if they all three taught things that were different. He says, now these things, brethren, have figuratively transferred to you myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you be puffed up on behalf of one against another because of who they were associating with. Another cause of pride is rejecting God's word. 1 Timothy 6:3, if anyone teaches otherwise, you read this morning, and does not consent to wholesome words or even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Jeremiah 13:15, hear and give ear. He's talking. Hear God's words and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. So whenever I turn my ear away from what God is saying, I'm a proud person. Great talent and ability. Remember the Apostle Paul was writing about the body. We each have a God-given place in the body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, the body needs every part. Every part is important. Don't look down on somebody because they might not be able to do what you can do in the church or anywhere else. It's a matter of pride. And certainly, the last cause is worldliness. Worldliness. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. A proud person is identified with the world. And that which is of the world is passing away. That which is only of the Father will last forever. And pride won't last. So how does this sinful disease affect the body? And particularly the church? Well, it causes contention. Contention. Proverbs 13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Also, Proverbs 28:25, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. It deceives. It deceives us. It causes us to be a deceptive person. Obadiah 1:3 says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Also Galatians 6:3, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. The church at Laodicea, because you say, I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. He goes on to give them a term of judgment. So pride is a very deceitful thing. And it causes us to be a deceitful person. It's a dreadful thing to have a disease. It's really a dreadful thing to have a disease and we don't even know it, so that we can do nothing about it. That's the way pride is. We need to ask God to show us our hearts. Help me to see my pride, because we all have it to some degree or another. Some people are just plain proud of their humility. And they think they are very humble, more humble than anybody else. That's pride. I actually heard somebody give a testimony like that once. Other people are very proud, but I am a very humble person. That was their testimony at church. You know, I could tell people were having a hard time with that one. Proud of my humility. No. So what will happen if pride goes on untreated in our lives? Well, it will bring shame, first of all. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Shame will eventually come to a proud person. The proud will be brought low. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. Isaiah 23:9. The Lord of hosts has purposed it to bring to dishonor the pride of all glory, to bring into contempt all the honorable, those who think they are wonderful in the earth. God will resist the proud. We've already read that. He gives more grace. He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 16:5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. God is going to resist them. The Bible mentions most of all destruction. Destruction will come to the proud. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the boundary of the widow. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 17:19, he who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. And Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So, is there no cure? There are many diseases that there is no cure. But there is cure for every sin. Every sin. That's why the Lord Jesus died. To take care of our sin problem. Unfortunately, it might take a thorn in the flesh. You remember Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Why? I don't know. But God said His grace was sufficient. Sometimes difficulties God allows in our lives, or sickness, or financial reversals, or whatever it may be, to get our attention, to help us to see we cannot live out of ourselves. We have nothing to offer of any real value. We have no certainty about tomorrow. And sometimes He reminds us of that. Hopefully that won't have to happen to us. But He says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Apostle Paul had great privileges. Revelations, caught up into the third heaven. Tempted to be proud, perhaps. But God said, no. I'm going to allow this in your life to bring some humility there. One thing that will help us in our pride is to realize that all that we have has been given to us. For who makes you differ from another? Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who makes you differ from another? What do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? That's pretty profound. What do you have? What is there to boast about? You received it. You didn't get it on your own. We need to see ourselves also as a member of the body if we're going to overcome this. We read this already, one of these portions. Here's another one. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Don't think more highly of yourself than somebody else. We're all members and important members of the body of Christ. How else can we be cured of this? Study and imitate the mind of Christ. You remember that passage in Philippians chapter 2? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or deceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was that mind? He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the mind. So, in conclusion, Christian, we should imitate Christ and die to our self-importance. If you're unsaved, you need to identify with Christ and live through the good news of the gospel. The problem with pride is that the very nature of pride is to fight against the cure. It's very sad when pride takes a church member to hell. There are some people who are members of good churches who realize deep in their hearts that they're truly not saved. But they're embarrassed. Everybody thinks I'm saved and I'm just going to go on this way. And they end up in hell because of their pride. It's sad when pride makes a sinner deny his sin and seek out the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sad when pride keeps a Christian from making a change in his or her life that ought to be made. Perhaps humbling ourselves and taking a step to make things right with somebody else. So do you think that you are better than others? Do you look down on those who are poorer or less educated? Or do you see yourself and others as fellow human beings made in the image of God? Let's all remember, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you tonight and must admit that whether we know it or not, our hearts hold this sin within them. Lead us as we read your word and pray to see our hearts. Search our hearts. See the wicked things that are there and lead us in the way everlasting. So bring us to conviction, decision, and a desire to please you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.